Cyrus Torrence. As a rookie coming in, play every single snap and not even flinch, that's pretty impressive. I remember my rookie year, I was, like I said, flying by the seat of my pants, just trying to hold on to it every week, and he seems like the most laid back, like not too worked up about the situation or anything like that. In 10 years, I think Cyrus is going to be multiple Pro Bowl or All-Pro kind of guy. He's heavy as hell. I mean, I don't think we went backwards one time on our double teams. I think he's going to be a really, really good player and play with him for a long time.
More from Spencer Brown as the Buffalo Bills begin training camp in mere days.
Mere days.
It's just days away.
It's pretty unreal, actually.
It's one of three times in the next couple of months that we say football is back. You get the July version of football is back, the August version of football is back, and then the actual version of football is back.
Mm-hmm.
And the April version. When the draft happens.
We passed that one, though. We're talking about the ones that are coming up.
Oh, okay.
I was sitting here for three straight days. I knew it was back then.
Yeah.
Oh, did I know.
It's back for a little bit, and then it goes away again.
But here it is. Football's back.
Yes.
Part one. Ready?
This is like...
Action.
But here's the thing. It's back now, and it's back. Like, it goes... Preseason, regular season.
We're back,
season.
And then
like, yeah,
regular
like,
season, we're back.
Like, it's there's no gap anymore.
I'm going to tell you right now, I have no business watching the Tim Boyle Invitational, also known as the Hall of Fame game.
Oh, absolutely not. when is that? What's happening?
So, the Hall of Fame game is at the end of the month.
You want to know my favorite part about when you say the Tim Boyle game? When we were talking about this,
the Tim Boyle Invitational,
Tim Boyle, I believe, is plays for the Chicago Bears.
No, I know. That's why I said it.
I think you said that before you even knew that he was.
No,
on the
because
Bears.
I learned it on Thursday with Josh that Tim Boyle was on one of these two teams, and so is one of my friends. Favorite quarterback to watch in the preseason now, Kellen Mond. Not because he's fascinating or good. It's because he's bad.
It's like watching Nate Peterman. I can't take my eyes off of it. But it's there, yeah.
But like he was actually bad. And last year I'm at Gen Con and me and my two friends, we're just bored and we just watched the Hall of Fame game. And I'm like, why are we doing this?
I won't be turning it on.
I don't need to turn it on. If it happens to be on, I guess... Well, I guess it'll be a yearly tradition at this point, but the Tim Boyle Invitational, also known as the Pro Football Hall of Fame game, is between the Bears and the Texans. I don't need to watch it. It's okay. It's on Thursday, August 1st, the first preseason game of sorts.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm out.
That day, football is not back.
Nope.
I'm not there
That
yet.
Day, actually, you know how I said it goes all the way back. Through from now? It's... Post August 1st, it's back.
Yes.
Not before then, and not then.
Yeah. But then, right in rapid succession, though, the Bills will have their three games in the preseason in August, so we won't have much sports talk Saturday going on.
No, we won't. We will not.
But that's okay, because...
Football's back.
Because we will be in the August version of football's back. 10th, 17th, and the 24th. That's the Bills preseason. Two of those games at 1 o'clock, as a matter of fact. And then I think it's the second one on the 17th that's at 7.
7, yeah.
So.
I can't wait to hyper-analyze every preseason game.
I can't wait to, for some reason, have to show up here at 7 a.m. for a preseason game.
Yeah. When you said 7, I'm not going to lie, I thought it was like a night game. I was like, why would they do a
nope,
night game
7 a.m.
in the preseason? Never mind, it's 10 times worse. It's 7 a.m. It's 7 a.m.
Like, I know we're not going to have like breakfast with the Bills or anything like that, but I'm definitely not excited for having to come in for that, because that's probably what's going to happen. I don't know. Maybe we'll only have network pregame for that. So I'd be able to walk in at like 11. That'd be nice. I can do 11. That's fine.
Yeah.
11's okay.
Would we just be the...
I'm expecting it.
Yeah. For the preseason. I'm kind of thinking Sports Talk Saturday will just be the...
It'll be the Bills preseason.
It'll be the preseason coverage.
Preseason coverage on the Bills radio network. Yeah.
Well, so, is it the radio network covering it, though? Is it all of the stations, or is it just us?
It might... I don't remember.
For whatever reason, I don't remember doing the preseason at all last year, but I know I did. So like
covering it. I did.
Yeah, right. But I don't remember any specific details. It's like a fever dream. It just never existed. It's such like a...
Our program director, Alan Davis, he had me host two of them.
Yes.
And I was like, okay, we'll see what I can do.
Yeah.
And I wasn't a huge fan of it.
That's right. You were so back at that point, though.
Yeah, I was just coming back from last year, yeah. So, yeah, no, it was a hell of an initiation, that Bills-Steelers game.
Trial by fire.
Yeah. Hey, let's deal with the callers at their angriest. Ready? Go.
Yeah. Just, you know, the preseason, nothing to worry about.
Yes. It's all... As training camp begins, remember this. Yes, follow some of the camp reports. Do take plenty of what's going on seriously, but it is also not gospel and it is not everything. Obviously, players will be able to stick it out through a tough camp. Khalil Shakir last year being that biggest example. A guy who did not have the greatest of training camps nor preseasons, and yet he not only stuck with the roster, but in the second half of the season became their most productive wide receiver. So, but pay attention, though. We'll have plenty of that coverage. Our own Sal Capaccio will be there, of course. I do believe that they just stay out there along with the players in dorms.
Yeah. The stories, the turkey burgers, I guess, the Bills love at Fisher, you know? they're all for the turkey burger. That was the old Bills, though. What's the new consensus going to be?
I don't know. We'll see what happens here. But speaking of, though, with training camp covering and everything that's going on here, Howard Simon wrote an article back on Thursday. And the opinion piece from Howard here is lowering expectations for the Bills in 2024. As the Bills prepare to go into training camp next week, there's a different feeling about them than before each of the last three seasons. And part of when I saw that was where my mindset is right now of how fascinated I am with this team and how I'm not dreading this season here. Last season, I was legitimately dreading it. I was not really liking the idea of having to cover this team because here we are, it's run it back, same old thing, and you better be good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to worry about that this time.
Yeah.
And last year, they dipped to 500, and this place could not have been more miserable. And when I say this place, I mean the entirety of the region.
Yeah, oh my God. I remember nothing about the preseason. I remember everything about 5-5, and then they were 6-6, weren't they? It was twice they hit 500.
They lost to Denver.
Yeah.
With 12 men on the field.
That's one game I didn't work in the season for whatever reason.
Oh my God. I wasn't working that game, but I had to do a write-up for it.
Yeah.
Holy.
I was at home, and I remember going to bed because it was late. For whatever reason, I was crashing. I was like, okay, the Bills have this one, whatever. Too many men on the field. What are we doing here?
Yeah, so
I woke up. I could not believe what I just read.
Not want us to dip into midseason form. That's one thing I do not want to do here.
We can't. Here's the thing the Bills have to do this season, and they do it every season, I feel like. They have that November-ish collapse, like to the Sabres.
Swoon.
Yes.
Not a collapse, a swoon.
Right, where they drop a couple games and it's stupid
games. It's like mid-October to mid-November.
Yes.
There's this downswing that happens, a little dip in production. And then they get to late November and to December, and they power through.
They do. They have a big game where it goes to overtime, most likely, or it's close. It's win or lose, doesn't matter. And then they plow through the rest of the season without question. But there's always that questionable midpoint, in, like you said, mid-October to mid-November. Just that window there. If we're going to get into the anatomy of windows, I'd say it's a sunroof or sunlight, whatever it is. I think that's what you have to avoid this season. That's a big thing. That's why you were 5-5 in the middle of November last year. That's why you're 6-6 in the middle of November.
Yeah, but Howard's piece reminded me, though, of the wonder of a new team with training camp here, and I was able to talk to him back on Thursday as well. And it was a nice conversation. First of all, it's always good to be able to talk with Howard and catch up with him again, but it was the fact that I was able to recognize I'm coming in here with a healthier mindset for this season. And I'm not worrying about being as expectant with this team, but also realizing that they still should be good. Can they more or less, can they defy the expectations that are actually on this team? What does the expectation become about the Buffalo Bills? Good, but not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Close, but not close enough. They keep losing in the divisional round. They can never get past the Chiefs in the playoffs. So now you're looking at this and thinking, okay, can they defy the expectations? This year, they're not the betting favorites like they have been the last 2 years.
No, I love it though.
It's so peaceful, isn't it?
I'm a big underdog.
It's something that fits the city well.
Yes.
Because we've been so used to it.
I hate when they're the favorite.
Having the aspirations on you, I didn't know how to conduct myself sometimes. I recognized there was this arrogance for a team that had won nothing, but also it was required because they were that good. And now I still believe they are going to be good, but I can carry myself a little more comfortably.
Yes.
And I think that's the thing that I'm looking forward to most about this season. Not just the inquisitive nature of how this roster is going to look and what players are going to emerge. It's the fact that I can come in here and kind of feel normal again. And I hope that plenty of you are doing the same.
It's like refreshing.
That Pittsburgh preseason game, everyone was so pissed. And I don't think we have to do that this year.
No.
We don't have to do that this year.
I will not be doing it. I'm one person right now who says, you do not have to do it. You just said it. I will not be doing it. Because guess what? The Bills perform, I think they perform the best as the quote-unquote one of the underdogs. They're not the total underdog like they used to be.
They're still a favorite for their division, which should be expected.
But they're not a Super Bowl, like, they're not a sure bet like they were.
They're not the betting favorite.
Yeah.
For, like, the last 2 years, they were the favorite.
Yes.
Even above the team that would beat them routinely in the playoffs, they were getting to that point.
Yeah, and it's refreshing not to see that. 2 years ago in particular. Mm-hmm.
Post 13 seconds, they were the betting favorite.
Well, there's no question. Because a lot of people said if they had won that game, they'd go on to win the Super Bowl.
Yes, and again, there's a lot to this. There's a lot with the fascination with the teams around them that are chasing the Chiefs, and there are plenty of questions to ask about what should this team be? What could this team be? And mm-hmm. we don't know those answers.
No.
Last year, we knew what they should be. And we knew what they could be.
And they were the 2 seed in the AFC. They were the AFC's champions.
Casually, in a down season when everyone was ready to take each other's heads off,
yep.
they end up the 2 freaking seed
and
in the AFC.
Ripping it away from the Dolphins in primetime in the last game of the season.
Yeah.
How better could that have been? As a Bills fan watching that.
Think about it.
Josh Allen doing the victory lap around Hard Rock Stadium.
They had themselves at one of their lowest points within the Josh Allen era and ripped the 2 seed and the division away from their biggest rival within the division right now.
Well, if you remember, no one thought they could win that many games straight. That was the big consensus on the talking head shows.
Hell, I believed it.
I feel like any
not
average
that I believed
person,
it, I thought it.
No one thought they were going to just rip off the entire end of the season, win.
We were all thinking like wild card at this point.
Yes.
But like, you know, you have a chance to survive.
No, 2 seed in the AFC.
But they also had to grind it out against quality competition. They did. Now, you're going into the season. It's a tough schedule, like it always has been for them. Why? Because you're a first-place team. They've been doing this for years. They've had these first-place schedules for years. And they still keep coming out with a first-place schedule because they keep winning.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an interesting starting slate with the Cardinals, Dolphins, Jaguars, Ravens, Texans.
Here's what you got to do. You got to win against the Cardinals so your record's 500. Or no, your record will be 1.0 at that point. And then the Dolphins won't be able to beat you if they lose week one because they can't beat teams with a record over 500. That's what you have to do.
Well, also, Miami has a tendency to win their beginning of the season Super Bowl and then collapse.
Yeah, you mean like 70 whatever against Denver and then get whacked by the Bills the next week?
Yes.
Just like the Jets week 1.
Or when they beat Buffalo in week 3 a couple years ago.
Oh my God. Yeah, when everyone was having a heat stroke on the sideline.
But they seized control of the AFC East. They had the inside track and then they lost it. And then last year, the Bills start torpedoing. They have the inside track on it and they lost it.
Mm-hmm. That's the story. The Dolphins can't hang on to it once they have it.
The Dolphins, we talk about how Buffalo's been playing their best football in November and December. The Dolphins have their tendency to have their swoon then. They can't close. And until they do, I'm not going. It's not that I don't take them seriously. They are a fun team to watch offensively. They are a fast team. They're a skilled team. They are very interesting because what are they going to do with the Tua Tagovailoa contract situation?
Yeah, that's still just unresolved.
It's unresolved, and also this is a chance for him to prove it and raise his market value even more. If he has another good season, Miami has a really hard decision to make.
Now, here's the question, though. Was last season a good season for him?
He led the league with passing yards. I would say yes.
Yeah. That's a stat, though, where you look at and you're like, okay, is Tyreek Hill on the other end of that?
Am I the, but as the agent, am I going ahead and trying to push negotiate that harder?
Yeah. Yes.
So if he ends up top five in passing yards again, I'm going back to Miami and saying price changed.
Mm-hmm. Well, look at the prices either, in general.
And you either don't have a quarterback,
yeah,
or you're paying him.
The Bills and Chiefs have the two best quarterback contracts in the NFL
right
now.
They have the greatest values in the National Football
League.
Yes,
yes.
Especially Josh Allen being like the 11th highest paid quarterback in the in all of football.
Isn't Mahomes right around there with him?
Yeah.
He's even
because
below
the market
him?
Continues to grow. And the Bills made a masterclass when Josh Allen's contract was coming up, and they made sure to negotiate it before things started getting ugly.
Mm-hmm. They did it right. They did it right.
And because the player that was coming up right along with him was Lamar Jackson.
Yeah. And look at how what he had to go through.
And Baltimore had to deal with the franchise tag and a potentially nasty negotiation process where we were starting to link him to teams that might trade for him. I am so happy that conversation never came home here.
Yeah.
But
you and me both.
Yeah. Oh my God, that would have been it would have been easy.
Mm-hmm.
Like talking about that sort of stuff, content creation. Yeah, sure. But at the same time, oh man, that would have been hell.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been an inner circle of hell.
Yeah, it would
like,
not
this
been fun.
Table is formed as a circle. It's a circle of hell.
Isn't it always during Bill season?
It kind of.
I feel like it kind
sometimes
of.
Sometimes it's really enjoyable.
It maintains its circle of hell status.
Sometimes it's really enjoyable. I mean, the show before the divisional loss to Kansas City.
We had fun with that.
Four
of us were in here at one point together.
I was in my pocket that day. I was hyping people up. I was really getting going here.
Yeah, you were hyping people up. You and I were sitting out there too. Oh, what a nightmare that was towards the end after Bass missed that kick. I think we both fell to the ground.
Legally, WGR does not condone jumping into the pit.
No.
Yep.
That was my favorite moment ever.
Yeah.
Sometimes it is a lot of fun during the Bills season.
You got mad at a caller.
Yes, I did.
And then you said, "We're back, baby. Feed the pit."
Yep.
And then a little pause, and then I played your
that was perfect.
Legally WGR does not condone jumping into the
pit.
Hey,
man, I needed my legal out in case people did it, okay?
You covered the base.
I'm not responsible for anyone that got arrested.
I saw something pit related this morning on Twitter. I think it was
it'll never die.
I think it was Tua's only shot as a contract is trusting a sacrifice to the pit or something like that. And I was like, okay, let's not bring the Dolphins into the pit. Leave them out.
Yeah, no, you don't throw opposing fans in there.
No.
No. I remember saying that. I was like, guys, no. Like,
guys, stop. Do not throw the Dolphins fans into the pit.
Do not throw the Peppa mascot in there.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, it can be fun. And I think that this training camp, this preseason is going to be very fun because there's a lot of story and intrigue with this team and a lot of uncertainty of who will rise.
I want to see Keon Coleman explode. That's who I'm excited for.
I want to see more of Keon Coleman just talking to people too.
Yeah, I want post-game interviews strictly of Keon Coleman. We need a between the two stalls. Sorry to bring that up. Jeff Skinner's gone. We need something like that, but with Keon Coleman at the center of it.
That's sad. But, oh man, that's a shame that collab never happened.
I know. But can you imagine those two together? What a media day that would be.
Yes.
Skinner and Coleman.
Yes, that would be hilarious. But again, my thing though is that there's so much intrigue. There's so much. I don't want to say promise, but at the same time, I do. Because there is promise to this team because they are reloading on the fly, and it becomes a very interesting thing. Because also, if it doesn't work, well, your front office gets called into question.
Right. But you're also looking at a retooling year, like you said, and you are still favored to win your division. You're not
a
Super
Bowl
favorite.
Depending on some media pundits, for some reason the Jets are being...
I kind of want to get into that. Can we do that in the next segment?
We can do that.
Can I rip into the Jets and the darkness retreat that they're about to experience?
It's not a retreat if you don't go there willingly, sir.
Right. Sorry, darkness kidnapping? I don't know. What do I say? What do we... No. No kidnapping. Nothing.
Well,
we'll leave it there. We'll think about it. I don't know. I don't know where to go from there. But I do want to speak on the Jets because I think people are being a little outlandish in what to expect.
Yes, that is true. And we'll let the Jets crash to reality coming up next here on Sports Talk Saturday.
This division, I think, is going to be one of the better ones. I still don't anticipate anything out of New England, but those three teams, I think, are still fantastic. And I think, like, listen, the Jets thing was supposed to be this massive, massive deal last year and was gone in 5 seconds, and now we'll run it back. And Rodgers is one of these guys that, whatever you want to say about him off the field, fine. I can't quit him on the field. He's still the best quarterback I have ever seen. I'm not saying the greatest like Brady. I've never seen anybody play the game better than Rodgers. And now he's got a fantastic offense, one of the best defenses ever had in his career. The Jets are going to be for real.
That was Kyle Brandt. He was on with Joe DiBiase earlier this week. This was on Thursday, actually, when that happened. And by the way, Kyle Brandt just tweeting, if I'm ever executed, I'd like this to be my final meal. And he's got a spread of beef on whack and wings and tons of the Buffalo treasures that we are spoiled with here, food-wise.
Oh, there it is. I see it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I would too.
We really are spoiled here as a food market.
Very much so. Very much so. I'm looking at this right now, and I was thinking, honestly, what I'm grabbing myself for lunch leaving here today.
Yeah.
Chicken wings might not be a bad beat around the
Maybe
corner.
Maybe not, no, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We'll see. No free brand deals. I'm not going to say where I'm going, but I'll go get some
Are
wings.
Joe and I getting wings after the show? Stay tuned.
We shall see.
You might have talked me into that. So, but what you did talk me into, though, is bashing on the Jets.
Oh, yeah. If that wasn't Kyle Brandt, I think I would have lost my mind. I don't have a problem with saying Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback, and he was. It's the is that gets me.
And Bruce Nolan had said something about that in the first hour. We can't automatically assume that a player is going to be as great as he was now 3 years, 2 years ago?
I would say 3 years ago, because 2 years ago when he was kind of meh.
Yeah, he wasn't great.
He wasn't 2 years ago was his MVP season.
Yeah, so 3 years ago was his MVP. 2 years ago was meh. He's just, you could say he was one of the greater quarterbacks, right?
I think
right?
Tom Brady really, as Bruce pointed out, Tom Brady really did ruin our perception when it comes to players in their 40s being able to make a huge impact. Look,
yeah.
Man, I'm 35. I turn the wrong way, and it hurts.
Yeah. I don't know.
You're dealing with an Achilles injury. Like,
yes.
I know you're not going to have the same facilities that a pro, like an NFL quarterback with tons of money is going to have.
Yeah, no psychedelics and darkness retreats, you know?
No, so, but like also medical facilities, training facilities that a professional athlete would get.
Right, yeah, absolutely. So it's just, I don't know. I think he's at the age point now where you're going to see a significant drop off in his ability, especially missing a season.
Mm-hmm.
That does not, that I don't think people realize. If you miss one season of the you're not actively practicing either because of that injury, right? I'm not saying you're not training and recovering that injury.
Yeah,
you're not actively practicing.
Capable of walking.
Mm-hmm. You're not actively practicing.
And he can bluster all he wants about, oh, I was going to be back this year. No, you weren't.
No,
you never were.
But then Kirk Cousins was dancing on stage at the NFL Awards, so I don't know what was going on after his Achilles blew out. So I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, Rodgers. I mean, if you look at the Jets' schedule. They play the Commanders in the preseason, then the Panthers, and then the Giants. That's their preseason schedule. So they end up with playing a home-and-home game against the Giants there. They play the 49ers in week one, primetime, 8:15. Like, right off the bat, you're going to see if Rodgers is ready to go.
Yeah, we're going
to see it
right away.
Yeah. Remember, he didn't make it more than four snaps. I was sitting in the stands for that game, Derek. I still can't believe I watched that happen.
You were in the stands for probably one of the weirdest games
ever. Yes, and I don't know. I don't know what to think. I remember the first time I got on air on the station with Zach Jones on the nightcap talking about Aaron Rodgers' darkness retreat, because that's when that was all happening.
Yep.
I don't think he's ever going to get back to Aaron Rodgers' back-to-back MVP seasons like everyone might think he is.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be a good, serviceable quarterback. He's not going to be the guy he was. And he hasn't been in the past two seasons anyway. There's a significant drop-off. Once you hit 40, like you said, and like Bruce said, Tom Brady created an unusual precedent. An unusual. And it, precedent's a stretch because it's only one guy who's done that.
Yeah, because, ready? I look back at his biggest rival and how he floundered at the very end and had a defense have to carry him to a Super Bowl in Peyton Manning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Von Miller won that Super Bowl, not Peyton Manning. That's...
That Broncos defense was disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one of the best that you'll look at all time and go, okay, yeah, they actually measure up.
That team won the Super Bowl. It wasn't the quarterback.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice that, you know, you got one for him like that to end his career.
Yeah, but he went out on the high note.
There's a very good reason to see why he ended his career. Even Brady, his last season was not pretty.
No, it wasn't. The last season he should have ended on.
When he should have ended on top?
Yeah.
And then Cooper Kupp ruined it for him?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then that game got overshadowed because the Bills and Chiefs played a playoff game of all time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That game got overshadowed because the Bills and Chiefs played an all-timer.
Yeah. Well, that should have been an indication, shouldn't it?
The old guard is passing. Yeah. And I will still never... The thing is that like as tough as that loss will be, I will never be mad at that game because it was a classic that a team had to lose. Yeah, of course, your favorite team lost it. But that said, I got to watch that game and have real emotional stakes to it. 13 seconds is not a curse word to me anymore.
I don't think it ever was. I think it goes back to one of the greatest games ever played.
It wasn't for me because of the fact that I got home and I'm like, all right, I'm over it. Like, that stung, but it was a classic.
In the moment, I remember standing in my living room.
By the time I got done with my drive home from my friend's house, I was like, all right, I'm good.
I think I was fine after an hour.
Yeah.
I kind of accepted it. I was like, okay, I want to see what the national media is going to say about this because I don't know how you really attack either team. This game was...
Well, I mean, there were things to attack. Right. Coaching decisions.
At the end, namely, the prevent defense or whatever. Yes. But at the same time, that was one of the greater football games played in history.
I remember the other one that I kind of compared it to with the ferocity of scoring was when the Rams and Chiefs played a Monday night game, and they were just back and forth.
You knew no defense was stopping. It was literally at that point when that coin toss went in the air, you're thinking in your head, whatever way this goes, the team is going to win.
Yes.
Because both defenses were just shot. There was no stopping.
Yeah, no, there was no stopping either of those offenses at that moment.
Because you had the two best quarterbacks in the NFL, Allen and Mahomes, in 13 seconds.
Yeah, this one, yes.
That one, teeing off whoever it was. So,
but even then, there were some defensive stops made in that game.
There were.
Bills punted a couple times. Chiefs punted a couple times.
Yeah, but they were always close together. You noticed that, right? They weren't like random times. It was like, oh, the defense got to stop. The defense got to stop. And then they wouldn't.
There was this one concern, like, it was in the third quarter. They were starting to become a concern. The Chiefs were starting to make it more of their game. And then Allen finds Gabe Davis on the bomb. And it's like, all right, we're back.
Yeah, and Gabe Davis was breaking ankles in that game like I've never seen before.
Yeah, no,
so.
That game was an EKG chart. Like, not just for people's hearts, but it was for, like, the game probability. It was just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
See, that's, like, the tough thing. I remember the topic of what was worse, the drought or that.
I remember you did say that.
A lot of people were saying that, and I was like...
No, because it was entertaining.
Yes.
You want to know how bad it had been sometimes for us to watch the Buffalo Bills play football?
I remember watching Scott Chandler and getting excited. That's bad.
Do you people remember Brian Brohm?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that game, as much as it hurts...
Remember E.J. Manuel?
Remember having to hype up E.J. Manuel?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's our guy. Kyle Orton played
a season
of football and then said, I'll be right back, and then did not come back.
No, he didn't even make it to postgame. His locker was cleared out, gone.
The stereotypical joke of dad went to go get a carton of milk.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Like, that is always going to be worse to me.
Yeah.
Forever and always because of it. We went way off track of your Jets thing.
No, but yeah, it all roots back though to it in
a
way.
I always do this. I never stay focused.
No. I mean, I do the same thing, but it all roots back to it in a way with you can't, like, we were at Brady with the changing of the guard. Rodgers should see the changing of the guard.
Yeah.
Right? He's played a part in that. There are young quarterbacks. Brady was overshadowed by Allen and Mahomes 13 seconds that last season, mm-hmm. right? That's normally a tell. The whole thing is the young ones will tell you when you're done.
The beautiful part, though, is that Rodgers refuses to give up the spotlight.
Yeah, but that's almost bad for the Jets.
And right now, for the last 2 years, that's been kind of fun to watch.
Robert Saleh is going to lose his job over this. I'm saying that right now.
He will. And the thing is that I don't know how much of it is entirely his fault, because the roster decisions are not up to the head coach at the end of the day.
You're right. But they cater Robert to Rodgers. That's kind of where I'm like, yes. What are we doing?
But Robert Saleh, at the end of the day, will end up losing his job over this man. And the general manager will lose his job over this man. Joe Douglas has been drafting himself a very strong roster. The one thing he hasn't been able to figure out, though, is the quarterback. Joe Douglas has been a very good GM otherwise. The Jets have been collectively one of the more talented rosters in football that has, over the last 2 years, been sunken by Zach Wilson's inability to make a decision. Make a good decision.
Yeah.
It's tough. As a Bills fan, I'll take it. A team self-sabotaging themselves because of the fact that they don't have a quarterback. And Rodgers was supposed to change that. Yeah, sure. But can he? One of the biggest strengths that he had as an asset was his ability to maneuver the pocket. Not bolt down the field like Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes can.
No, he was shifty back there, though.
But he's shifty. Shiftiness might be an issue with an Achilles tendon on the recovery.
You saw, though, in OTAs, or whatever, OTAs, because he was on a darkness
retreat. Is it live with contact? I don't want to hear it.
No, I mean him running.
No, I know, I'm saying.
He was whatever he was doing, fixing his heel or whatever.
But is it live on contact?
No, it's all different.
Then it's always different.
Yeah. Sorry, I was trying to remember which one he was on a darkness retreat for. It was mandatory minicamp. They let him slide on.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't even as big of a story as Diggs not being there, though. Just mind you that.
Yeah, of course. But, again, Rodgers is interesting in the sense that, yeah, he had an MVP season at age 37, but that's also already 3 years ago. And in the NFL, what have you done for me lately?
Nothing.
And the last that I've seen of Aaron Rodgers was he played poorly enough that the Green Bay Packers missed the playoffs. And 1 year later, with that same roster of the players that he was complaining about dropping passes, Jordan Love takes them there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's you, guy. And
he just complains a lot for me.
The thing is that I have fun with this, and maybe that's why I'm going to relish in the downfall of Aaron Rodgers' career. Because the thing is, I'm always going to say, don't put yourself out there like that if you don't want the consequences. That's why I was so irritated about Von Miller last year. He put a lot out there, and he wasn't able to step in with it.
Mm-hmm.
He put the expectation he was going to be out there on week one.
And then it just continued to roll the snowball down the hill.
Which
and then
I was fine with, like, take your time. But you gave us all this false hope. Aaron Rodgers is giving the New York Jets false hope. And I'm not going to feel bad for him when the other shoe drops. And it's a shame, because this might be the third straight year that the New York Jets have a talented roster and an amazing defense, and it's undone by a quarterback. Just not the same one you were expecting.
No, because Zach Wilson's about to undo the Broncos.
Unless
Bo Nix plays. I almost call him Bo Callahan every time from draft day. Like, it's almost second nature.
Might be a better pick.
Maybe. Apparently, though, Sean Payton was like, the last time I felt this good about a quarterback, it was Patrick Mahomes. So, or Drew Brees, excuse me.
All right, well, we'll see what he's got. Like, Sean Payton, he's got to do something, too, because he's another guy that, like,
he torched Russell Wilson pretty bad.
Yes, but at the same time, like, he's also blustery. Like, he's boisterous. He's going to say things that can come back to haunt him. You know, he's got that too. So, yeah, no, like, there's a lot of interest, I think, with this season. As long as you don't follow the, oh, great, the Chiefs are back to doing their usual nonsense. As long as you ignore one team, there's a lot of intrigue within this football season. And one of those is here. Jets, very intriguing. Dolphins, still very intriguing with the quarterback situation. Even the Patriots within the division, like, what is Drake May?
Yeah, that's...
That'll be fascinating.
Empty your pockets, Drake. Call back to a booty cheek from a while ago.
So, that's nice. But, again, there's a lot of storylines. There's a lot of intrigue. And I like that the Bills are one of the more interesting teams this year.
It makes it more fun in the offseason, and it makes you less, I guess...
miserable going into it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because you're not expectant anymore.
That's the right way to put it. Yep.
All right. We'll close this thing up.
Tie it with a bow.
Put a bow on this thing as we always do here. Coming up next on Sports Talk Saturday, Derek Kramer, Joe Calley, Evans on the board. You're listening one last time to WGR. Welcome back. Last segment of your weekend for Sports Talk Saturday here. Derek Kramer, Joe Calley. Gotten a lot of wing talk there, but before we carry that back on to put an end to this show, thank you to Bruce Nolan and to Pat Malacaro, our guests in the first and second hour, respectively. If you missed those conversations, you can check them out on our website at WGR550.com under Sports Talk Saturday.
Phenomenal today.
Yeah,
I
think we had a good
day. That's my first time talking to Bruce exclusive, Bruce Nolan.
Yeah,
Bruce. Very, very insightful.
He's very insightful. He's got the podcast back. I'm so happy for him. And I love that the reception was so large that he charted within the top three of sports podcasts.
Yeah, that's phenomenal.
That's amazing. And it couldn't have happened to a better guy. And I mean that because he is awesome. And... speaking of the wing conversation, him and I will always message each other after a segment, and he'll just be like, "Hey man, thanks for having me on," everything like that. And it's like, so I was like, "Hey man, you're in town, you let me know. Wings are on me." So
there you go.
But speaking of wings, we've got some
we had a discrepancy.
We
in
had
the
a
break.
Little discrepancy of opinion here.
Yes.
So my thing is this: like, people always ask me, like, you know, it's the usual question that you get around here. Of, you know, by the way. Total, like, scuzz bucket move going on here right now. I've pulled the mic up, and I've got my feet
kicked
back.
Yeah, you got feet kicked back.
I've got the feet kicked back right now. I pulled the mic up, and I'm leaning back in the chair for this last part. Almost the typical Derek doesn't give a damn about how things are supposed to go around here. But you were talking to me about this with the drums and flats question.
Mm-hmm.
And when people ask that, you know, it's a popular thing around here. And I always give such a non-answer. Like, it's the ultimate fed sitting on that kind of question. But that question doesn't bother me at all. Like, oh, drums or flats? Nah, man, I'm not that person. Why do I need to pay more money for my wings? First of all, they're still currently very expensive.
They are. We're in a chicken wingflation right now.
Chicken wingflation. That's a good term right there. But at the same time, like, I don't need to worry about it. I'm not that... worried about that. For me, the most important thing for my wings is make them crunchy, make them sauce.
I always ask for crispy and saucy, like, no matter what.
If you got to ask a place to make them crispy,
I ask just to clarify. They normally do.
Yes.
But
the good ones, you don't have to worry about it.
Right.
But, you know, you want to hedge your bets just in case anywhere you go.
Mm-hmm. So it's in writing somewhere.
As long as it's crisp and that sauce tastes good, I don't care. You can get... ready? I'll have them boneless. If they're tasty. That's how much the sauce matters.
I do like a good boneless wing, too, though.
Yeah, that's when it matters. Don't give me no blue cheese. Don't give me any dips. I don't need any dip.
And for those who say boneless wings are just chicken nuggets, I have this.
They're more like chicken meatballs.
That's honestly what I was going to say. They're more of a chicken meatball type thing, for sure. But they're made with the wing meat.
Yes.
They're not a breast meat like
a chicken nugget.
So say all you want, it's not a chicken wing. I'm eating wing meat if I'm eating a boneless wing. So
yes, exactly.
That's what it is. But yeah, I'm a flat guy. I like it. If I go somewhere and they offer the option $5 more for a specific style, I'm all for it. I'll throw the $5 on for that.
Yeah. That's how it goes. The conversation though in Buffalo is always going to be forever about
drums or flats.
Drums and flats. Types of sauces. I think I got...
what's your all-time sauce? Mine's just honestly, I like just a buffalo medium.
I do like a medium.
That's just classic. I like charbecue as well.
It's how I gauge a wing place.
Mm-hmm.
You got a great medium sauce, I'm here.
Mild's too buttery. Mild's it's not buttery. Enough.
It's not enough to gauge.
Hot
it
is
on.
Just like, okay, I don't want to.
Hot is sometimes torture, especially for me.
I don't want to. I'm all for a spicy food. Don't get me wrong. But if I'm going to eat 10 chicken wings, I want to be able to eat 10 chicken wings.
I have such a sensitivity to spiciness that I will sweat with certain medium wings too. So I don't need to get hot wings because that'll just be torment.
Yeah.
Josh Schmidt and I did a couple years ago now something for the 11-day power play. Where I ate 3 of the suicidal wings from Duff's,
mm-hmm.
and then we did a shootout. And
how were they? Were they like scorching?
Oh my God, I was dying the entire time trying to shoot the puck on them.
Well, you're breathing too, so it's and like skating, it makes yeah. worse. Yeah, yeah.
That one was fun.
When you breathe through your mouth, especially if you're short of breath, skating.
Ooh. Yeah, that was tough, but that's why I did it, because it was a challenge. And it was basically someone was offering like, hey, I'll donate to Pages, and I'm like, hey, why don't we split it? You know, Josh and I will do a little shootout, have a little fun with that money, and get the donations going in a fun way. So that was fun.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
I should probably regrettably do it again.
It's like the Buffalo Pepsi, man.
No, we're never doing that
again. No, not never again.
Never doing that again. But we are.
Never again.
But you know what we are going to do again? This show, next week.
Next Saturday.
For Evan on the board, for Joe Kelly, for my guests, Bruce Nolan and Pat Malacaro, I'm Derek Kramer. You've listened to another edition of Sports Talk Saturday here on WGR. Welcome back. Last segment of your weekend for Sports Talk Saturday here. Derek Kramer, Joe Kelly. Getting a lot of wing talk there, but before we carry that back on to put an end to this show, thank you to Bruce Nolan and to Pat Malacaro, our guests in the first and second hour, respectively. If you missed those conversations, you can check them out on our website at WGR550.com under Sports Talk Saturday.
Phenomenal today.
Yeah,
I
think we had a good day.
This is my first time talking to Bruce exclusive, Bruce Nolan.
Yeah, Bruce.
Very, very insightful.
He's very insightful. He's got the podcast back. I'm so happy for him. And I love that the reception was so large that he charted within the top 3 of sports podcasts.
Yeah, that's phenomenal.
That's amazing. And it couldn't have happened to a better guy. And I mean that because he is awesome. And speaking of the wing conversation, him and I will always message each other after a segment, and he'll just be like, hey man, thanks for having me on, everything like that. And it's like, so I was like, hey man, you're in town, you let me know. Wings are on me. So
there you go.
But speaking of wings, we've got some
we had a discrepancy
we
in
had
the
a
break.
Little discrepancy of opinion here.
Yes.
So my thing is this. Like, people always ask me, like, you know, it's the usual question that you get around here of, you know, by the way, total like scuzz bucket move going on here right now. I've pulled the mic up and I've got my feet
kicked
back.
Feet kicked back.
I've got the feet kicked back right now. I pulled the mic up and I'm leaning back in the chair for this last part. Almost the typical Derek doesn't give a damn about how things are supposed to go around here. But you were talking to me about this with the drums and flats question.
Mm-hmm.
And when people ask that, you know, it's a popular thing around here. And I always give such a non-answer. Like, it's the ultimate fence sitting on that kind of question. But that question doesn't bother me at all. Like, oh, drums or flats? Nah, man, I'm not that person. Why do I need to pay more money for my wings? First of all, they're still currently very expensive.
They are. We're in a chicken wingflation right now.
Chicken wingflation. That's a good term right there. But at the same time, like, I don't need to worry about it. I'm not that worried about that. For me, the most important thing for my wings is make them crunchy, make them sauce.
I always ask for crispy and saucy, like, no matter what.
If mm-hmm. you got to ask a place to make them crispy,
I ask just to clarify. They normally do.
Yes.
But
the good ones, you don't have to worry about it.
Right.
But, you know, you want to hedge your bets just in case anywhere you go.
Mm-hmm. So it's in writing somewhere.
As long as it's crisp and that sauce tastes good, I don't care. You can get ready? I'll have them boneless. If they're tasty. That's how much the sauce matters.
I do like a good boneless wing, too, though.
Yeah, that's when it matters. Don't give me no blue cheese. Don't give me any dips. I don't need any dip.
And for those who say boneless wings are just chicken nuggets, I have this.
They're more like chicken meatballs.
It's That's honestly what I was going to say. They're more of a chicken meatball type thing for sure, but they're made with the wing meat.
Yes.
They're not a breast meat like the
chicken nugget.
So say all you want, it's not a chicken wing. I'm eating wing meat if I'm eating a boneless wing. So
yes, exactly.
That's what it is. But yeah, I'm a flat guy. I like it. I if I go somewhere and they offer the option $5 more for a specific style, I'm all for it. I'll throw the $5 on for that.
Yeah, that's how it goes. The conversation though in Buffalo is always going to be forever about
drums or flats,
drums and flats, types of sauces. I think I got.
What's your all-time sauce? Mine's just I like just a Buffalo medium.
I do like a medium.
That's just classic. I like charbecue as well.
It's how I gauge a wing place.
Mm-hmm.
You got a great medium sauce, I'm here.
Mild's too buttery. Mild's it's not buttery. Enough.
It's not enough to gauge.
Hot
it on.
Is just like, okay, I don't want to.
Hot is sometimes torture, especially for me.
I don't want to. I am all for a spicy food, don't get me wrong. But if I'm going to eat 10 chicken wings, I want to be able to eat 10 chicken wings.
I have such a sensitivity to spiciness that I will sweat with certain medium wings too. So I don't need to get hot wings because that'll just be torment.
Yeah.
Josh Schmidt and I did a couple years ago now something for the 11-day power play where I ate 3 of the suicidal wings from Duff's,
mm-hmm.
and then we did a shootout. And
how were they? Were they like scorching?
Oh my God, I was dying the entire time trying to shoot the puck on them.
Well, you're breathing too, so it's and like skating, it makes worse. Yeah, yeah.
That one was fun.
When you breathe through your mouth, especially if you're short of breath, skating.
Ooh. Yeah, that was tough. But that's why I did it, because it was a challenge. And it was basically someone was offering like, hey, I'll donate to Pages. And I'm like, hey, why don't we split it? You know, Josh and I will do a little shootout, have a little fun with that money, and get the donations going in a fun way. So that was fun.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
I should probably regrettably do it again.
It's like the Buffalo Pepsi, man.
No, we're never doing that
again. No, never again?
Never doing that again. But we are.
Never again.
But you know what we are going to do again? This show, next week.
Next Saturday.
For Evan on the board, for Joe Kelly, for my guests, Bruce Nolan and Pat Malacaro, I'm Derek Kramer. You've listened to another edition of Sports Talk Saturday here on WGR.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.